when it's hot out, one delightful way to cool down is with an ice-cold treat like a popsicle. And this edition of Food Friday, we're going to explore ways to create those refreshing treats at home while using primarily natural and healthy ingredients. Sarah Bond is a recipe developer and the creator of the food blog Live, Eat, Learn. She's also the author of For the Love of the Popsicle, Naturally Delicious Icy Summer Sweet Summer Treats from A to Z. She joins us from the Netherlands. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
What inspired you to build essentially an encyclopedia of popsicles?
Yeah, well, it actually started with the smoothies. So I really love making smoothies. I think it's a really fun way to kind of play with flavors and ingredient combinations. And so I make those a lot just to have like a healthy breakfast. But living over here in Europe, we actually don't have air conditioning, so it can get really hot in the summers. And so I started freezing some of my smoothies into popsicles just as like survival. And they always seem to turn out really well. So I began putting some of those recipes on my food blog. But I just had so many ideas for popsicles that I decided to write the book. And so For the Love of Popsicles was born.
And does there seem to be a growing interest in popsicles, in frozen treats, not just here in the U.S., but around the world?
I've noticed it mostly when I go back to the States to visit. I see all the little artisanal popsicle shops popping up everywhere. And I don't think that those are really catching on here quite yet because they still have like the really nice gelatos mm-hmm. and sorbets here. So I think we're still away from popsicle shops here, but I'm leading the charge.
And what is it about homemade popsicles that can make them superior to store-bought ones?
Well, I just really like knowing what's going into the popsicles, first and foremost. But then also, I just find it's a really nice way to sort of use up all that fresh summer produce in a way that's, it feels nice. It feels fancy. When you pull out homemade popsicles, everyone is excited. And yeah, it's just a really nice way to sort of celebrate summer.
And you have a degree in nutrition and dietetics. What kind of adventure was this for you when you started developing recipes and wanting to make them healthy so that they certainly were a treat, but that they weren't a huge cheat?
But well, a lot of popsicle recipes that you'll see in cookbooks or that you'll see online tend to have a lot of sugar in the form of simple syrup. Can you hear me?
Yes. We lost you for a little bit, but you're back.
Yeah. So a lot of popsicle recipes that you'll see have a lot of sugar in the form of simple syrup. And this isn't only for flavor and taste, but it's also for the texture because the sugar is important in helping to prevent those ice crystals from forming. And so for a while, I sort of thought, oh, well, healthy popsicles isn't that attainable because you need to have the sugar to have that nice texture of the popsicles. But once I started experimenting and really playing around with the amounts of sugar and honey I was putting in, I realized that you really don't need that much sugar to make a really nice popsicle. If you're using really ripe fruit or if you're using, honey or natural sweeteners. So it was sort of an adventure finding ways to make the popsicles still taste really nice and taste like a dessert or a treat while keeping them healthy. But I managed to get the sugar levels and a lot of those sweetener levels down in the popsicles just through trial and error and playing around with the different fruits we were using.
And you also played with what the creamy base was, because a lot of more traditional recipes might call for heavy cream or even sweetened condensed milk. And those are delicious, but not something that you would necessarily feel okay having even daily, let alone multiple times on a really hot day. What did you find works well for that base?
Yeah, exactly. So I use a lot of coconut milk, just canned coconut milk, and then plain Greek yogurt. So I like to use the full fat variety of these because it makes the texture nicer in the end, but it still is healthier than using heavy cream or sweetened condensed milk, like you said. And if you don't like coconut milk or Greek yogurt or even like flavored yogurt, you can even use like pureed banana. That also has a really nice texture when you freeze it. It's kind of creamy and sweet, and it's without the dairy or
We're talking with Sarah Bond right now. She is a recipe developer and the creator of the food blog Live, Eat, Learn. We are talking with her today because she is also the author of For the Love of the Popsicle, Naturally Delicious Icy Sweet Summer Treats from A to Z. And I have to say, looking through your book, which first of all is gorgeous, the photos really do, I think, do your popsicles justice. I was amazed at, you know, the range of flavors and flavor combinations that you have. Where did you even begin in trying to think of what things you might want to put together in a popsicle?
Yeah, well, like I said, like a lot of it came from previous trial and error with smoothie recipes. So I had already tried a billion different things with smoothies, like putting together basil in a smoothie or adding Nutella to like spinach smoothies just to see what would work. So I had a lot of experience with that. And so a lot of those were transformed into popsicles for the book. But then I also like, there's a book called The Flavor Bible, and there's also a Vegetarian Flavor Bible. And it's really nice because you can go through and you can say, okay, I want to make something with pineapple. You like scientifically based on flavor profiles, which ingredients go with that fruit or vegetable. So that was really nice for finding sort of out of the box or unique ideas for what to pair with different fruits and vegetables. And so I use that a lot in developing the recipes and sort of coming up with new twists on what the classics people might want in a popsicle.
And what were some of the combinations that you maybe were pleasantly surprised at, how well they work together? I remember you saying that you were surprised by how well basil works with fruits.
Yeah, basil works really well with blackberries or strawberries and pineapple. So I have a basil pineapple one in the book and then also a blackberry basil. Let's think. I'm going to flip through the book now and see.
Basil, I have to say basil blackberry sounds amazing to me.
It's nice because it's not like, it's not super herby. It's just got, it's primarily blackberry. And then you get like a little hint of that like peppery and icy sort of basil. But then on the topic of herbs, I really like using thyme, like in combination with lemon, that works really well. Mm. Rosemary could work. To add a little bit of a different flavor that kind of hits you second, but it's a nice, gives it a nice little something something.
Sarah Bond stays with us. She's the creator of the food blog Live, Eat, Learn and the author of the book For the Love of the Popsicle. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Daycare providers, summer camp staff and parents, what are your go-tos when creating sweet summer treats for the kids in your life? And athletes, do you rely on any naturally sweetened protein-laden popsicles after a workout? What do you use? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we heard from some of our coworkers here. Christy in membership makes Arnold Palmer popsicles. And I know that's one of the ones that's in the book For the Love of Popsicles. To make them, you put one lemon slice in your mold or cup. Then you fill it halfway with lemonade. Then you let that freeze for 5 minutes before adding tea to create a layered popsicle that's a delicious drink, and that would be very refreshing on a summer day. Kay from the business sponsorship team at WPR makes popsicles for her dog. She starts with small Tupperware containers, fills them halfway with water and broken dog treat pieces or crumbs from a treat or food bag. Doesn't sound too delicious to me, but I bet the dogs love it. The treats usually float, so freeze that. Then when solid, top with water and freeze again until solid. And popsicles, Sarah, that's something that you make as well. Oh, I think we don't have Sarah for the moment, but we also have a comment from Kathy. She's a WPR library volunteer and longtime listener. She said when her children were young, they added chocolate syrup to plain or vanilla yogurt and froze them in molds. She convinced them that those were fudgesicles, which I have to say growing up, that was one of my favorites. At some point, they did discover the commercial version. She said both boys are in their 40s now and parents themselves. So, Sarah, it sounds like a lot of folks are big fans of those frozen treats, popsicles.
Well, I think it also just goes back to everyone's childhood, so it's a bit of a nostalgic thing also. So I wanted to create something that the kids would like, the adults would like, looking back at the classics, but then also some adult ones with some alcohol and things. So there's a little bit for everybody.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those alcohol ones, because I know that alcohol itself doesn't freeze, which is why you can put, say, a bottle of vodka in the freezer and it'll be very cold, but it'll still be liquid. So is it all about the ratio of alcohol to other ingredients?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So you have to limit how much you use. I usually do about a 4-to-1 ratio, so 4 parts mixer to 1 part alcohol, and then generally that should freeze. It's going to be softer than your average popsicle, but the texture is actually really nice because it makes it kind of more biteable, and you don't have to wait for it to warm up at all. It's just instantly ready to eat.
Well, I think we've gotten people's mouths watering with all this talk of popsicles. Let's talk about how to make them. What kind of equipment do we need?
Well, you really just need a mold and popsicle sticks. but even that you don't need. So I have some idea starters in the book, but if you don't have a popsicle mold, you can do muffin tin. You can just do muffin tins and put the popsicle mixture in there. You can do shot glasses, works really well. Let's think. I've even done like a loaf pan. If you have a baking pan for bread, you can pour all the mixture in there and then put the sticks in and then just slice it into popsicles once it's frozen. So really, I think the only thing you need is some popsicle sticks.
And I really liked your suggestion that it can be tough to get the popsicle sticks to stand up, because if you put them in, if it's not a very thick mixture, if you put them in too soon, they might be all wonky. If you wait too long, you might not be able to get them in there because it's too frozen. And you suggested one way to do it is to put a layer of aluminum foil over the top and then just kind of poke them through. I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. Because, having made over 100 batches of popsicles at this point, I'd say for the first 20 or so, it was just the bane of my existence having these popsicle sticks standing straight up, because, of course, it's not very photogenic having popsicle sticks everywhere. But so then I figured that out, and then it was a smooth sailing after that.
Let's go to the phones, and Anita is with us from Lindenhurst, Illinois. Hi, Anita.
Hi. I have a real simple one here. You have a watermelon. The last part of it gets a little too ripe and soft. You just scrape that out, put it in your blender, put it in your popsicle mold. That's it. It's really, really good.
Oh, and I have to say, I love watermelon. And that sounds easy and delicious to me. Sarah, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I love watermelon in smoothies or in popsicles. And I've even seen, I haven't actually tried it, but I saw it on a video somewhere where you can even just cut the watermelon into slices and just put the popsicle stick in it and then freeze it like that.
Wow.
So I'm really curious if someone's tried that before. It looks super simple and super summery.
Well, they can let us know at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to the phones, and Mary in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I make a frozen treat by using the metallic miniature cupcake holders, and what I put into them is simply either plain or vanilla Greek yogurt mixed with chocolate whey protein powder. You're getting very low fat, but you're adding all that additional protein using the whey protein powder, and I happen to like the chocolate flavor. But I believe it comes in vanilla flavor and also strawberry, maybe even more. But when that's all mixed together and put into these little liners for muffin tins with a stick in the middle, it is just wonderful.
Wow. Well, that sounds great to me. And Greek yogurt, too, has a lot of protein. So I know, Sarah, that you talked about, popsicles that would be really good for athletes, either before activity or to kind of recover after. That sounds like a great recipe for Mary.
Yeah, that one sounds really great. And the Greek yogurt is really nice because it has more protein, but it also has less water. And so the water is what makes the popsicles freeze really solid. So that's why if you use regular yogurt, then you get a more icy texture. So the Greek yogurt is perfect. And it sounds really tasty with that whey protein.
And you've shared a few recipes with us that we posted on WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's start with a classic flavor combo, cookies and cream. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, so that one is, it's kind of my take on like an Oreo cream popsicle with less fat and less sugar. So basically I do vanilla yogurt, and then I do a little bit of cream cheese just to have that creamy flavor, and then a little bit of milk to get things moving and make it pourable. And then I do a sweetener, so I either use honey or sugar. And for this one, you could even substitute like a no-calorie sweetener, like stevia, if you like that.
Hmm.
And then some vanilla extract. And then I like to do some crushed Oreo cookies throughout it. And then as kind of a hidden surprise, I put a whole Oreo cookie into each popsicle well. So then you bite into it and then you get an Oreo cookie. And it's really nice.
So you'd need a slightly bigger, maybe one of those, you know, kind of traditional, almost like the fudgesicle kind of shape ones to fit that whole Oreo. That would be a lovely surprise, I think, in the middle of it.
Yeah, definitely. Although I think you could do, like in a muffin tin, you could put the Oreo
at
the bottom.
That's a good idea, yeah.
I guess it wouldn't be quite as hidden, but...
But it would still be something to look forward to. We're talking with Sarah Bond. She's a recipe developer and the creator of the food blog Live, Eat, Learn. We are talking with her about her book, For the Love of the Popsicle, Naturally Delicious Icy Sweet Summer Treats from A to Z. You can join in at 800-642-1234. And I want to ask you about something. I wanted to ask you if there were any... misses instead of hits when you were doing all your research. And then I read your thank yous in your book, and you thanked, I believe, your partner for discouraging you from the cabbage popsicle.
Yeah, so this was it was a bold idea, this one. I had the idea. So red cabbage has that really bright purple color. And if you take cabbage juice or anything colored by cabbage, and you add an acid to it, so lemon juice, then it turns bright pink. And so it's kind of like a fun science experiment to see it change this color. So I had the idea for these like galaxy pops or something, where you would have a drink, like a pineapple juice, and then you'd stir a cabbage popsicle into it, and then it would be like a fun, delicious science experiment. But it was beautiful, and it was really nice to look at, but it tasted so bad.
Well, I have to say that sounds better than what I was imagining, which was like overboiled green cabbage. So at least you had the color going for you. But I think it's important for people to know that, you know, even when everything in a book looks beautiful and sounds delicious, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to get to that point.
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the things that you do is layer different flavors in a popsicle. What's the advantage of doing that?
You mean like having actual separate layers?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, yeah. Honestly, it's just for the look of it. It's really pretty, and it's it kind of adds that nostalgia, especially like for the firecracker popsicles, which are the red, white, and blue, sort of like the rocket pop,
mm-hmm.
or Neapolitan. For those, it's always, if I can't decide which flavor I want, then I just make a Neapolitan with a vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, and So that's nice if you have people coming over or you have an event or something. It just looks nice. It's fun. Everyone likes it.
I was also thinking that the layering might be a nice technique if you have a couple flavors that you think will complement each other, but one might be quite a bit stronger than the other, and you don't want to completely overpower the one that might be a little more subtle.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's that's the case with the firecracker pops in my book. Is it's a strawberry and then a coconut and a blueberry layer. So the strawberry and the blueberry can be quite intense, but the coconut is sort of that break in the middle to just have something creamy and sort of mild before you get to the blueberry at the bottom. So yeah, that makes sense.
Is there anything we should keep in mind for troubleshooting? We did talk about how to keep the sticks up. Is there anything that we need to know? One of the things is things expand when you freeze them. How much extra space should we leave?
I usually fill the mold about 3/4 full because it will expand. So if you fill it all the way to the top of your mold, then it's going to bubble up and probably leak out. And it just makes it a bit of a pain to unmold them. So yeah, just leave some space at the top to leave room for that expansion.
And what's the best way to get them out of the molds once they're frozen and ready to eat?
Yeah, so for this, I just really simply run the mold under warm water. So I've seen before where people will put them in a sink full of warm water, or yeah, wrap warm towels around them. But for me, I found it was easiest just to put the sink on warm and then just hold the popsicle molds under it and then move it constantly. So you have each mold sort of hit by the warm water a little bit, and then they should come out quite easily and quickly.
And of course, you said you've made, what, over 100 batches of popsicles, most of them successes, I'm guessing, and you feature many dozens of them in your book. Do you have a favorite? Is there one that you just keep going back to and always want to have in your freezer?
Well, yeah, the one that's really the favorite in our whole family, they're called Darling Lemon Thyme. So it's buttermilk and lemon and thyme. And they're just really creamy and quite addictive. And okay. Then I'd say the fudge pops are the close runner-up for when you're craving something chocolatey, because it's really rich and decadent, and it's just really coconut milk and cocoa powder.
Well, that sounds delicious. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sarah Bond is a recipe developer and the creator of the food blog Live, Eat, Learn. She's also the author of For the Love of the Popsicle, Naturally Delicious Icy Sweet Summer Treats from A to Z. She joined us from the Netherlands. You can find her recipes for cookies and cream, rhubarb strawberry, and s'mores popsicles on Food Friday page at WPR.org. That's WPR-food/FoodFriday.